He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday big bang in the market today with just a terrific bout of earnings reports. Really incredible, all the different earnings reports that were just terrific from all walks of life. And then, of course, the dovish talk, as at least it was perceived that way. They think maybe the Fed is done. And we've got the Dow up 280 right now to 33,555. We're having one of our best days of the year here at Gunderson Capital. The S&P's up 48. It's up 1.1% to 4285. The NASDAQ doing best of all. It's up 150 after a good day yesterday, which, you know, AMD was the star of the day yesterday. NASDAQ up 1.15 to 13,212. The small caps are up 1.7%. That tells me that interest rates must be down. We'll get to that here. Crude oil is up $1.18 to 81.62 as we await Hezbollah's announcement tomorrow. What will they do? If they join in the conflict, that's a big deal. Gold is up 370 today to 1991. Silver's up 17 cents to 22.97. And yes, I'm right, Barry. The 10-year is down 13 basis points. Is the Fed done? 4.66%.
Well, we got some interesting labor numbers this morning, and we'll get to those. But, yeah, yes. Something we haven't seen in a while, put it that way.
So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and many of those Best Stocks Now are really flying here today. And, Barry, it's all I can say is it took me a long time. It was a flood of earnings that came in since yesterday's show. And I'm just astonished.
Like you said, of all walks of life.
Yes.
All different industries, right?
And I'm absolutely just astonished. Not really surprised because I've expected it, but it is just wow. There was only a few stinkers in the bunch. And we have, like, the biggest winners in the market today. I don't know, three or four of them, which we'll go through here in a minute. We had a good day yesterday. After that Fed announcement, I didn't listen to it. I know that he didn't hike rates. There were some words that they always pick on, right, that are either favorable or negative, and I guess they saw it pretty favorable. What was it he said that got the market excited?
Yeah, essentially, he just kind of stated that the market, as we've talked about before, is doing the Fed's job in terms of, with rates being higher, particularly on the longer end of the spectrum at the moment, with the 10-year, getting up towards 5, of course, dropping today. But the main point was conditions are basically tight, and, we may not need to do anything, really, going forward. So,
yeah.
He left it open a little bit language-wise, but, overall, he also mentioned that, their forecasts, the old dot plot that showed some, potential need for future raises, he actually said that those assessments may change at the next dot plot.
So, okay. Well,
there's some pieces there where, we've seen yields come up, and today they're dropping really on some labor reports in terms of workforce finally being productive and unit costs going down. We've been seeing how productivity has waned so much from a workforce standpoint, and it looks like it's finally ticking up a bit.
Well, the Dow was up 222 yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 210 on just AMD, their earnings were kind of in line. They beat a little bit, but it was the announcement of the AI.
Yeah, it was the place where they beat, right?
Yes.
The area of their business that they beat.
And AMD was the stock of the day yesterday. The day before, it was ANET, A-N-E-T, which we also own. So we've had, and we've got some big winners again here today in the market. So anyways, the market is betting today that they're done hiking interest rates. Okay, that's what the market is betting. And let's not forget that on Wednesday, the refunding announcement was tolerable for the market. It wasn't as big as expected.
Basically in line, yeah.
And on Tuesday, the what do you call it? The
refunding plan, yeah, essentially issuance was basically in line. It was $2 billion less than expected at what I think it was $112 billion or something of that.
Yes, and they're saying yesterday that you can sum it all up what Powell said: we're not confident that we haven't, but we're not confident that we have. Okay, so there it is, and that's got the market all excited. But I would say that you've thrown gasoline on the fire with these earnings that have come in. Now, as you said, we've got a couple of things happening today that we haven't seen in a while. Oh boy, layoffs are happening. Initial job. I've still got a job.
Right. Yeah.
Initial jobless claims come in higher than expected. The market pops the cork, and it's celebrating today.
And continuing claims are higher than expected by an extra 18 million or an extra 18,000. And then the best thing was really from an inflation standpoint, a factor that goes into it was productivity rose 4.7% versus 4.1 expected. Productivity has really waned, certainly since COVID, in terms of workforce. And workforce wages have gone up, right?
Yes.
So, you know, wages up, productivity has been down. Finally, productivity comes in better than expected. And
yes.
Unit labor costs actually dropped 0.8%. So
217K, the initial jobless claims. And one more round of good news here. What bad news is good news. U.S. job cuts rise 9% in October. Hey, I was talking to some of my friends that work over at Boeing, and one of my friends, she got laid off. She said they're outsourcing all of their onboarding and training of new employees to India. So that definitely would show up in the job cuts. I don't know how many people Boeing laid off. She said the last time they outsourced it to India, it was a disaster. And she expects it to be a disaster again. Okay, the Bank of England, they stand pat. They're clear up at 5.25. You know, our 10-year is now at 4.68. I think the U.K. is a little bit behind us in getting inflation under control. And keeping their economy going. We seem to have that soft landing. There's no question about it, which we've been predicting. I mean, it's amazing. It's not that easy to do. I think corporate America has done the bulwark of the job because they know just how many people to lay off, and they also know, you know, how to keep growth going. I credit corporate America really. When I look at these earnings. Now, Wells Fargo totally disagrees with us, which, hey, you know what? They haven't been very right over the years, and in fact, they've been found to be wrong.
They've had a little bit of scandal along the way, too.
They believe that the Federal Reserve is now in a hawkish hold mode. Well, the market obviously disagrees with them today. And I'm waiting for Mike Wilson at Morgan Stanley to come out and say that we're going to go to 3,800. Well, that's where he stands. We're going to go to 3,800. He's been bearish all year long. Meanwhile, here at our firm, we've taken advantage since early January, when we said the NASDAQ had bottomed. And we've been lucky enough to be in those magnificent seven for the most part for all year long. And when we come back, we'll go through some of these earnings reports today, which I find to be really good, really, really terrific. Okay, and of course, yesterday, I just want to see if AMD is tacking anything on. Not really. Okay, they built that in yesterday. But AMD, for a stock that big to go up like it did yesterday, that was pretty phenomenal. And it reversed a pretty long correction in AMD for the last 5 or 6 months, or three months. We sat through AMD all of that time. We own it. It's one of the 19 stocks we own in our Premier Growth Portfolio Large Cap, and it's one of the 19 stocks we own in our Ultra Growth Portfolio. But because it continues to be an ultra growth stock. And yet AMD's earnings were only up 4% yesterday, Barry, but it was all about the AI chip.
Yeah, where the growth is.
Yep. So when we come back, we're going to talk about Broadcom. We're going to talk about what California is up to, Gruesome Newsome, and the weight loss stocks. Wow. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The first stock I want to talk about today is Broadcom, which is a big chip maker. It's been a good earnings season for the chip makers. Intel a week ago, tomorrow, had blowout earnings. Intel was up 10% on that day. And then yesterday, AMD, which by the end of the day, AMD yesterday was up around, let me get that number here. I think it was about 7 or 8%.
Yeah, percent for most of the day, at least.
It was up 9.7% for the day. That's a huge move, you know. So, I mean, that really drove our portfolios yesterday because, as I said, we own it in our two largest portfolios.
And for the stock, it's one of those that, it started out the other way whenever the initial announcement, but it's one of those where you dive into the report, right, and the places where they had slowing growth, where they were lowering, fourth quarter guidance, is in areas that make sense that you had some lowering, as I mentioned, in terms of, the gaming revenue is going to be less in Q4 than it was the previous year, which makes sense in terms of, there's no new, video games. I got three boys at the house. There's no new video game, system that's coming out this year. So that's what, so you would expect it to be slowing. And then, the area that, the market's really been waiting to hear from them on has really been in that AI, space. And that's where, if you dive into the numbers, where the growth was, and certainly came in better than expected, and, on a go-forward basis would expect to rise. So,
yes.
Once the market finally processed that, then you get a 10% move, right?
Yep.
Yesterday.
It was huge. And Broadcom is making a nice move today. They were, in China over the weekend, talking over the VMware. It's getting harder and harder to make a to purchase somebody because you have to go through so many hoops, not only here in the U.S. But internationally. But Broadcom's a major player. They're mostly in Singapore, but they moved their headquarters to San Jose. It used to be Avago Technology, and then they bought Broadcom and they changed their name to Broadcom. But Broadcom's up 1.5% today. We also own Broadcom, AVGO, which the ticker symbol is still reminiscent of their old name, before they went to Broadcom. Now, here's the Gruesome Newsome story of the day from California, where I lived for 62 years of my life, Newsom he was the mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah, you had the Terminator there too for a while when you were there, right?
And you can go to San Francisco today and see what became of San Francisco. I used to go there, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I used to visit some of the big mutual funds, including the Franklin Funds, the GT Global Funds.
Transamerica's there too, right? Isn't that
big building? Transamerica building? Some of the great restaurants of the world. And then the whack jobs took over, and the homeless took over. All of your shopping malls, the Nordstrom's of the world, et cetera, Macy's, have all left San Francisco. Bruce Bochy left San Francisco, went to Texas.
And just won the World Series.
And I have to, what a job. I mean, comes out of retirement, takes a team that lost 100 games 2 years ago and wins the World Series. Yeah, well,
in convincing fashion, too, by the way.
So what is
4-1, right?
What is Governor Newsom up to these days? Restaurant chains McDonald's and Chipotle have to raise prices next year in California. Of course, we have visitors right now from California, and gas is over $6 a gallon. They couldn't believe it that we're under $3. How can you be under $3? We're paying $6.50. Well, it's because of wacky ideas, but now a McDonald's worker or a Chipotle fast food worker, the minimum wage is now $20 per hour. Now, I remember when they were marching 5, 6, 7 years ago for $15 an hour. Now it's $20 an hour, so you're going to pay more for a Happy Meal.
That's 41 grand. Yeah, that's 41 grand, you know, if you're working 40 hours a week for, you know, 52 weeks. I mean, I don't want you to know what my salary coming out of college was,
yeah,
right? It wasn't
right.
41.
Now, so. When I was growing up, my friends in high school, you know, they either worked at SeaWorld or they worked at McDonald's and whatnot, and you know, it was like a starting job just for some work, but $20 an hour, that's starting in California, so it's going to cost you more to fill up your tank and to fill up your sack with Big Macs. It's going to cost you a lot more in California. That's just the way it is.
I used to peel shrimp and cut fish for $4.25 an hour. So
now
yeah,
you know
that's a steal at $20 an hour.
Yeah, and my experience is I had my stepdaughter do my just bookkeeping. She has a full-time job, and she had a few little side jobs in the evenings. They made me in California make her an employee, independent contractor,
yeah,
which is just absolutely insanity, but that's California. Okay, yeah. Now here's the big story of the day. For me it is, anyways. The weight loss drugs are weighing in today. And they are really talking up. So you've got Lilly, which is our biggest holding at our firm. Lilly is up $29 per share today. It's come back a little bit. Lilly was up. It was hitting, $5.97 this morning. So it was up about $45
per share. It's up over 5%, which is a big move. I mean, it's a big move for a massive
drug
company.
I mean, this is one of the biggest drug companies in the world, and it's up 5.3% today.
Yeah. Almost half a trillion in market cap, by the way.
They beat on their diabetes drugs, which also are the weight loss drugs. They pushed back on their Alzheimer's prospects. Lilly had another strong quarter as Mounjaro and Verzenio continue to gain momentum. CEO David Ricks remarked, referring to a breast cancer therapy that also surpassed, Verzenio, sales expectations. The Indiana-based drug maker beat Wall Street expectations for its Q3 revenue by $500 million. As its top line expanded 37% year over year. Okay, that's unheard of for a large drug. I mean, Pfizer would give anything to have that kind of growth.
I mean, it's a half a trillion dollar market cap, right? I mean, is what we're talking about.
Yes, Lilly. Their sales went from 7 billion to 9.4 billion.
Right.
That's growth of 37% in sales. I wrote an article about Lilly recently, within the last 2 or 3 months. I had one guy say, your article is laughable. Well, who's laughing now, pal? Anyways.
And you raise him a Novo Nordisk.
Yes. Well, when we come back, that's the other one that has reported today. It's all about the GLP-1 receptor agonist Mounjaro, and of course Novo Nordisk version of it. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I've been telling you that the market's going to come back to earnings eventually. Now, there is another wrinkle here in the market that came out of nowhere 4 weeks ago this Saturday, and that's this geopolitical war going on in Israel. Of course, the U.S. is definitely involved there on the periphery. And if Hezbollah from the north, and you still have to worry about the West Bank, where there's many more, that's a much bigger area than Gaza. Gaza is a pretty small little area geographic, but that's where the Hamas is concentrated. And of course, on the north is Hezbollah up in Lebanon. So we still have that wrinkle in there in the market. But look at what the earnings have done for the market this week. And of course, it didn't hurt to have our friend Chairman Powell say maybe we're done. Now that helps the multiple because you've got the bond market maybe finally hitting a bottom here, and you've had a rally this week in the bond market.
In oil, oil is staying right around
oil 80, has come
81,
down,
right?
Yeah.
It's come down considerably. What, it got up to, what, around 95, I believe?
Yeah.
I think at least on the Brent crude side, so.
With the bond market, now we had people calling for, it's going to go right through 5. I can't remember who that was. It was some, I think it might have been,
Kalanovich? No.
Or one of the big bond guys. Who's the big bond guy today?
The new Bill Gross. I'll remember his name.
But they were wrong about it going through 5. I'm not saying it can't turn around and go there, but that looks like a pretty solid bottom to me in the bond market, meaning that would be a top
gunlock.
Gunlock. 5% seemingly would be the top there in interest rates, so that helps the multiple side of the equation. Okay, so Lilly has their Mounjaro, and I'm told that they're coming up with a new Mounjaro. Still has not been approved for weight loss, but doctors are prescribing it left and right for weight loss. It's not illegal to, for weight loss because it also is tied to diabetes and whatnot. Now, I'm told that there's going to be
some places were compounding it, and they're still allowed to do it. Remember,
yes,
they didn't get that the court case.
But Lilly doesn't get anything off of that. In fact,
right.
They're suing those people that are compounding it now. I'm told that Lilly's, the next version of Mounjaro is going to be even better. So I don't think Lilly is even close to being done. And you can read our article on Seeking Alpha about Lilly. Now, on the one side of the pond here in America is Mounjaro. Over in Europe, in Denmark, the other side of the pond is Wegovy. Which comes from the diabetes drug Ozempic. So it's pretty amazing that they've taken that in these diabetes drugs, they found that they can also control weight. The two don't seem to be related to one another. But It is. And, you know, somehow it just kind of kills your appetite, your desire, where you're always thinking about peanut butter brownies, you know, a nice piece of prime rib, whatever the case may be, candy. Everybody's got their little thing, you know. And it takes away, so you're just not thinking about it all the time. And the results are stunning. You know, I have a friend, he's lost 65 pounds. He's done now, I think. Now it's a matter of maintaining his weight, but he lost 65 pounds in about 9 months taking Mounjaro. Now, Novo Nordisk has raised their outlook, buoyed by strong sales of their weight loss drug. And maybe with today's huge move, it's up 4%. So that's why we're having a huge day. We've had a huge week. Our two biggest positions are Novo Nordisk and Lilly. And you got one that's up 5%, almost 6% today, and Novo's up 4% today. And Novo has also been a fantastic stock. I wrote about it in 2012, one of the 50 stocks in my book. Because
yeah, close
it's,
to breaking out to that.
It's always been the leader in diabetes, in making insulin and whatnot. Now, there was a point in time recently where it was the largest company in Europe.
Oh, it is actually. I saw an interview with the CEO this morning, and yeah, he's they're still they are currently the Europe's
there
most
you go.
Largest company. So
LVMH is number two. Now listen to this. This is as big as Lilly. It's a half a trillion dollars. Their earnings were up 54%, and their sales were up 37% year over the year. You just don't find this in large cap companies. No wonder we own it in our best stocks now. Large cap premier growth stocks. Are these not two of the best large cap growth stocks in the world today? It's pretty hard to argue that they aren't. And, of course, Novo Nordisk sales of the obesity drug Wegovy surged from 1.16 kronars to, not, you know, it's all in kronars. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, and for, I mean, just for this year in terms of earnings growth and their PE, I mean, they're basically got a PEG ratio of right at one. When you look at, you know, 2023 earnings growth of, you know, 38% or more, and then a PE of 39, you know, it's pretty fair valued growth at that.
Now, how valuable is the best stocks now app.com? Number two ranked stock is Lilly, and either one or three, I'm not sure where it is today, is Novo Nordisk. That's out of 5,500. Now, the app does not know anything, does not read the newspaper. The app has not tried Wegovy. The app has not tried Mounjaro. It's all it does is it's the algorithms that I built into it to detect, number one, movement, which is also known as performance in the market, momentum. And number two, the other half of the equation, basically, is valuation. And those two come together. And there's only 127 such stocks out of 5,500 that are B plus or better right now. But two of them happen to be, and, you know, others are also in that group of 127. And others that we hold were in that select group when we bought them, and we still own them. So that app takes a big, big ocean of stocks and really narrows it down to where the fish are, where the fish are biting, where the action is. Here's another one that I found, and it's having a big day. This one's in our smallest portfolio. Actually, it's down now. It was way up. What the hell? Super Microcomputer. Was up strongly. Now it's down. They must have given some guidance. But still, this is a major player in AI, SMCI. Down 9% right now, but keep your eye. We continue to own SMCI. And I think they're a big player in Iowa with their servers that can handle that kind of stuff.
And for a smaller name that you know that in that AI space and not you know not on the software side, they're on the you know they're on the hardware side, which is a you don't have as much execution risk there. So it's,
it's a solid name
for that.
Okay,
space.
Now worst stocks. Now I'll tell you the sector that has just. Man, just been pummeled. Solar has just been pummeled. Now, I run my little office here on solar, and it is totally unreliable. It's all you need is a couple of cloudy days, and you know what? You're not getting anything from your solar. So I have some batteries, backup solar batteries that store solar, so I can switch to one of those. But it just won't even keep up. I mean, I have a pretty powerful Yeti solar, the biggest one they make. And it can't even run my little office here because eventually, you know, you get a couple. It obviously doesn't work at night, so you're draining it during the nighttime. Number two, pretty soon it's depleted, okay, because – between some cloudy days and not being able to run at night. So you have to have some backup batteries to switch to recharge. It's just a very, very inefficient, unless you live in Arizona where it's always sunny. The solar stocks are getting slammed, and today it's Solar Edge getting slammed. Okay, we're going to take a look underneath the surface of the market when we come back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on what is a very good day for the market. And you can attribute just a terrific, since the market closed yesterday until now, the earnings reports, the flood, probably the biggest day of this earnings season. Definitely from a diversified, different industry point of view, it's really been phenomenal here, these earnings reports.
Yep, and what we get, don't we get Apple after the close?
Apple
today
is
too, right?
Tonight. Yeah, so Apple's up a couple percent. Company. I don't expect much from Apple myself.
Nah, I really don't either.
And, of course, with the Fed yesterday hinting maybe that there's going to be no more hikes. And the rally in the bond market, which is taking interest rates down to 4.66%.
That's, welcome that. Yeah.
That's good news all across the board for the market. Now, as I look at the Dow, there's not really anything that stands out there for me in the Dow. But when we get to the S&P 500, the diversity of the stocks leading. Number one is Penn National Gaming, up 13.6%. And I saw the reason there was something.
I saw something where the ESPN sports book is supposed to open maybe November 14th. Weren't they the ones that had to deal with
that? Yeah. Yep. Okay, so that's one. Okay, number two, here's a big surprise. Starbucks, up 10.5%. That is a big, big,
it's a big move for
jump.
Them. Right.
Huge. Okay, I just want to look.
Yeah, partly it was a little bit. They had some rebounding sales, I think, in China, which you know was one, I guess, one part of an unknown for the stock, which helped propel it, I guess. But yeah, 10% seems a bit aggressive.
Yeah, the Starbucks tentacles, you know, I mean, they're in the grocery aisle now with the K-Cups. They're on Amazon with the K-Cups, in addition to 35,000 coffee shops worldwide, 17,000 of which are in the U.S. But that's up 10.3%, the second biggest winner in the S&P 500. Then you get into a whole different stock here, Clorox is up 7.6% today.
Yeah, and remember when Clorox, I remember what, I don't know, I think it was like a month or so ago, was down like
hitting
5 or 6%
hitting
in one
new
day.
Lows.
Yeah, and I was like, what happened to Clorox to drop that much?
Okay, so. Now we go in a totally different direction. PayPal is up 6% today. I wouldn't own PayPal. It's a lousy, horrible chart. That's Jack Dorsey's other stock. No, he's PayPal or Square.
Square. Yeah,
he's Square. PayPal, though, was, you know, Musk was involved in the early days of PayPal. It's up 5.3% today. It's
yeah,
been
that's
hitting,
just a saturated market. That's the problem.
It's saturated. It's been hitting new 52-week lows, but it's one of the biggest winners in the – then
you
go
– what the forward PE is on PayPal? 10. 10.4.
Wow.
That's pretty
that
amazing.
Shows you how competitive that business is.
Yes.
Now, we go to Lilly, which is up 5.2% right now, 5.4%, which is a weight loss drug. And I don't know what's gotten into Tesla today, but Tesla is up 5.4% right now.
We talked about how rough that chart had been looking. So,
yeah, well, it's held the 200 level, and, of course, we own Tesla. That's another big holding here. How can you not call it a best stock now?
Bounced right back off that 200, didn't it?
Boy, I'll say. Right? And then the other big winner today is another ASM lithography. So we're having a huge day. We're probably having one of our best days of the year today because we're overweighted in Lilly. We're overweighted in the weight stocks. We're overweighted in Lilly. We're overweighted in Novo Nordisk. We have a big position in ASM lithography.
Yeah.
AMD is now tacking on to what its gains were yesterday. You got Tesla joining in the party today big time. So it's a very big day here at our firm, Gunderson Capital Management. And let's just see if there's any others standing out. Let's just look at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is being led by Starbucks as the leading stock in the NASDAQ.
Wow.
10.6. PayPal is number two at 6%. Tesla is number three at 5.1. And then ASM L is up 4.1%. So, you know what? It's the haves and have-nots in this market. It continues to be a very narrow area of stocks. And there's the problem for me with the ETFs. You can own the QQQ. Well, the QQQ's got the airline stocks in it, which are getting pummeled. The QQQ owns this, I know, but it diversifies you out, and it cushions the down days. But why own a bunch of garbage? The solar stocks are a big chunk of the NASDAQ. I mean, if you just took the NASDAQ and eliminated the NASDAQ's 100, you could eliminate 40 out of there and have a better NASDAQ. You know, when the NASDAQ is going well, which it is this year, is by far the leader of the indexes because the market has returned to growth this year. It's because of the Fed, and it's because of earnings. So, anyways, you have to be in the right places at the right time. There's a lot of sectors that I wouldn't have any exposure to, such as, you know, the automobile sector without Tesla. Tesla's the only automobile stock I would own. You can take the whole green energy sector. It's a horrible place to be invested this year.
Well, and the cost of capital has really hurt those. I mean, you got to remember, you know, a lot of things that make those wind projects and solar projects.
They're walking
right?
away yeah. from those projects.
Right. And the main thing is, you know, cost of capital as you've had, you know, interest rates tick up, it makes that whole, you know, cost-benefit
yes.
analysis, you know, the math doesn't work, put it that
no.
way.
No. The banking sector I wouldn't have any exposure to. Some financials, yes, particularly the insurance stocks because they're sitting on those big short-term, you know, reserves that are earning a lot of money right now. And, of course, the industrials, the Caterpillars of the world and whatnot. So there's just, you know, I just don't believe in being diversified just to be diversified. You may as well cherry pick and be in the areas, and it changes. That's the beauty of the app. It detects those changes in the market. All right. Well, get in touch with us. Have a chit chat with us. Take a look at your plan, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter this week, and we're going to have a new target price for the S&P 500 after this week. Two free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.